And beloved, let's turn to Psalm 90, the first psalm of the fourth book. And the heading there, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you were God. You turned man to destruction and say, "Return, O children of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like sheep in the morning, which are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up, and in the evening it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath, and we finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, or if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, and it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And then especially this morning, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we talked together last night about the permanency of God as a dwelling place, that God does not so much provide a dwelling place as much as He is our dwelling place, that in Him we find rest and security in this world filled with insecurity. We find strength in a world in which we feel so weak, and we find a timelessness in a world in which we remember and celebrate the passage of time, but also knowing that time is moving towards its appointed end, that 70 or 80 years or so, and then we die and we fly away. Of Moses, who wrote the first 3 chapters of the Bible, the first 5 books of the Bible, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Before the earth ever was, before the mountains were ever there, from everlasting to everlasting, He is God. He is not subject to time. God is not marking January 21st, 2023, because He doesn't need to. It's not important to Him. God doesn't have a birthday, and He doesn't celebrate birthdays. A day to Him is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. It's we who celebrate those things. And I don't know originally if Adam and Eve would have celebrated these things either. That when Adam and Eve were created in the image of God, they were created to live together, to live in covenant with Him. Because that's what life is, to dwell in the Lord, to live with Him, in communion with Him. There's no other way to live, beloved. There's no other way that we can be together and really have the fullness of life or understand who it is we're created to be. Adam and Eve, God says, love me with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Live forever and do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. And then Moses writes about the fact that Adam and Eve did eat of the fruit, and that God says to Adam, Adam, because you listened to your wife, cursed is the ground because of you. Eden will become wilderness. And you will eat bread in the sweat of your brow. And you who were to have dominion over the earth will have dominion over you, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. The earth will have dominion over us, and we're fighting that ever since. So Moses asks us to reflect upon the things of life and who we are. A man who himself knew that kind of suffering. A man who, as we talked about yesterday, for 40 years, let's see if I can get this thing right. For 40 years, buried 15,000 or so a year because he led a people who didn't want to be led. He led a people right up to the borders of Canaan and the land flowing with milk and honey, and they said, they are too strong. Why did you bring us here? Why did you not leave us in the land of Egypt? At least we had life there. Now you're just going to bring us into death. Joshua and Caleb are saying, no, God will take care of this. It's a land that's beautiful. Let's trust him. No. Moses, what have you done? And Moses and Aaron fall on their faces before Almighty God. And Moses pleads for the people. Like the type of Christ that he is. Oh Lord God, what will the Egyptians say if you destroy your people? What will the world say if you destroy your people? Oh Lord God, please have mercy on them. But God says, no, now I've had enough. But I will not destroy the future. I will not break my covenant to Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob that their seed will receive the land. But now for 40 years, and the New King James uses those words, the King James as well, their carcasses will be strewn all over the wilderness. For 40 years, their life will be under the judgment of Almighty God. They will live under the wrath of God, and yet their duty as parents and grandparents is to tell their children, don't do what we did. Love the Lord God. Trust him. He is great and he is glorious. Look at what he did. He brought us out of the land of Egypt. We saw all of his wonders. We saw what he did to Pharaoh. He is great and he is glorious, and we should have listened to him, but we didn't. So children, grandchildren, please don't make the mistake that we have made. Learn to number your days. Or the old language, learn to number your days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. You see verse 11 where Moses writes, for who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. Israel forgot God. They thought they could play with him, that they could complain against him. They never understood. And I think many of us, and I know I especially would put myself in this camp, I don't understand why we need to suffer so. And in the moment, we don't like it. And in the moment that we suffer, or in the moment that we are fearful, isn't fear a paralyzing thing, to be scared, to look into the future? Should I get married? But what happens if I do get married? Should I get that new job? Should I go to school? What should I do? What if it all falls flat? What if we can't make the living that the way we've used to make our living? What if they do take all of our freedoms? What if we're going to have to go into hiding or go into other places again? What if COVID comes back? Beloved, what are we going to do? And the devil keeps coming after us and coming after us, and we lose sight of Almighty God because the world seems bigger of God, the people seem bigger than God, and then he gets smaller, but he will not let us go. He will move in our lives, and as we saw last night from Hebrews 12, he will discipline the children that he loves so that we will learn to number our days aright. Don't forget who God is. And don't forget that in the chastisement is his love and his mercy to you. That in the moment that you who love God, in the moment that the mansion of glory that he is preparing for you, when that room is ready, then you will be at the position of faith that you need to be. And that's going to take molding and shaping and sanding, and sometimes chiseling, and sometimes it will be very, very difficult. And not only does Psalm 90 teach us that this is about us, but let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children, that we are also involved with it, that we are feeling called to speak and teach our children to number their days aright. To pray for wisdom, which means, of course, that we know that we're not wise. Why would we pray for wisdom if we think that we have it all? And I think many of you know the story of Solomon, the young man. David, his father, has passed on. David has passed on the glory and the greatness. He's given to him the task that now the temple is going to be built. And God appears to Solomon, and Solomon, what do you want? And Solomon can have anything that he wants. And what does he ask? Oh, Lord God, I'm a young man, and I need wisdom. I need something something that will allow me to lead these people of yours. Give me wisdom. Let me use each day for your glory and for your honor. Lord God, establish the work of my hands, because if you do not establish them, then it will all be for naught. So Moses is praying on behalf of a people that we think is at the edge, on the verge of Jordan, looking over to the land of Canaan, getting ready to go to the other side. They have buried the dead. Everybody over 20 who left Egypt is gone. As Paul writes to the Corinthians, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brother, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, the Shekinah, and that they all passed through the sea, the Red Sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate of the same spiritual food and drank of the same spiritual drink." So now Paul is comparing baptism and the Lord's Supper and the water of life to what they went through. All of them had that, even as all of you had that. "And for they drank of the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. When they were complaining, then the Lord God sent them Christ." And that's why God was angry with Moses, for he misrepresented the grace and the mercy of Christ. "Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered over the desert." So the warning from 1 Corinthians 10 is, it speaks to the truth of Psalm 90, is, beloved, we need to wake up and take notice. You can't just bank on your baptism. You can't bank on your church membership, and you certainly can't bank on coming to the Lord's Supper table. We need wisdom. What does James say? Pray for wisdom. And when you pray for wisdom, believe that you will receive it. Do not doubt. "Teach us, Father, to number our days aright." And as they move now into the promised land, they're being called to keep the covenant. They've been forged in the wrath of the covenant. "The days of our lives are 70, by reason they are 80, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for soon it is cut off and we fly away." Probably 600,000 people, they saw that was true. Cut off and fly away. "Who knows the power of your anger? We do. For as the fear of you, so is your wrath." That we finally let God be God. I mean, I don't think most Canadians this morning are getting up and listening to this. Some people say, right, that New Year's Eve is celebratory, and then New Year's Day is about resolution. Others more cynically say New Year's Eve is about the party, and New Year's Day is about the recovery. But they're getting up this morning, and they're recovering or eating, and there'll be American football, and there'll be the World Hockey Championship, and there'll be parades, and there'll be all kinds of things to do and to see and to be with family, and then this day will fly away, and then they're back at it again at work. And the day is moved and it's gone. It's the interesting thing, right about time. Right now has just passed. We can never get it again. Everything we've done in this worship service, we can never do it again. It's already gone. It's already passed. And then there's the big so what. And then we're all confronted with the reality of the past year, that we bury people, that we are going to bury people. How long, O Lord, how long before Jesus Christ comes? Who has known your wrath? And ultimately, we have to say it's Jesus. He's the one who can answer that question. He's the one who numbered his days right. Come to earth, be born of a woman, born in Bethlehem, 33 years. I must be about my Father's work. Lord God, establish the work of my hands. I must finish the work that the Lord, my Father, has given me to do. Oh my God. My God, let this cup pass from me, as the wrath and the fury is coming upon him. For all of those days of his 33 years, he was the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, born that man no more should die, hanging there on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? As the wrath and the fury of God, I know your wrath, O Lord. I know and I am in awe of you. O Lord, my God, why are you forsaking me? As he prays from the bowels of hell, that you and I will never completely know or taste that wrath if Christ is your Lord. If you put your faith and your trust in him, and please, beloved, give your lives to him. Embrace him. And then heed the language of Psalm 90. Our Father, we long to be perfectly whole. Father in heaven, send the Spirit now. Give us Christ in all of his beauty and all of his glory so that we may number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Solomon wrote these words, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure. He's talking about getting old. And now all has been heard. And here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of God, man. Fear God and keep his commandments, for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Yes, Moses even speaks of those hidden sins and how God sees them. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of the Lord. Today is the day that God has given to you. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Oh, make your plans, but don't worry about it because tomorrow doesn't even exist. We may not even see tomorrow, beloved. But you've got today. And what are you going to do today? Well, on this Sunday, we're going to worship God. And we're gathered together before his throne of grace. And twice we get to sing praises to his glorious name. And we get to hear the word. And we're going to begin the week in that way so that the rest of the week we will give ourselves to that. Teach us to number our days aright. Today. So how much time will you and I spend on the phone, or behind the computer? How many podcasts are worth it to listen to, and how many are not? How much time are we going to spend always taking stuff in and never pouring it out? If I spend my whole life learning how to lay bricks and how to lay stone, and I know how to joint, but I never do it once, then what was the point? If I spend my whole life reading the Bible and tell nobody anything, if I have the way of salvation, and I study, and I know all sorts of things, but I have not love, what does it matter? What are you going to do with today? How are you going to approach today? You are living in the world, beloved. There is so much distraction, so much music to listen to, so many books to read, so much to watch, to learn, so much evil that cloaks itself in entertainment. Oh, it's okay. And pretty soon you look and you go, whoa, I just blew 2 hours again. And what happened? And what was the point of it all? Did I number the day? How many days do we have? And who are the days for? And what is each hour of the day? What is it meant to be spent on? For me and my entertainment and my kingdom and my, as we talked about yesterday, utopia. My life without pain, my life without sorrow and struggle, and the government is supposed to do the work for me, or somebody else is supposed to do the work for me. That's the world that you live in. Well, that's great, but then what about us? Where's our drive? What drives us? What motivates us? Is it not our God who has been from everlasting to everlasting our dwelling place? And by the way, the more you do, the more you're going to suffer. So pray for courage. Pray for wisdom. Pray that you know what to do with the knowledge that you have. Pray that you will live a life pleasing to Almighty God in the service of his kingdom. That's why you're going to work this week, to praise Almighty God and to build the kingdom of God, to be the representatives, the ambassadors of the kingdom of God. Israel is going into Canaan, not with the sword of the word, but with the wrath of Almighty God and the judgment on a people whose sins stink to high heaven, where God says, I've had enough. But then they are to live in that world, and that especially comes to fruition under Solomon, where wisdom and obedience and love comes together, and the whole world goes, look at Israel. Will they look at us as the people of God and say, look at the church? Look at who they are. Look at what they have. They really have the truth. They believe in the truth. And young people, you are being bullied. You are being shut up. You are being shook and left. You can't speak the truth. You can't say what love is. Or they say, you're not loving. Or we'll cancel you. Or we'll shut you up. I know. Because we're dealing with it too. And it's just easier to go, we'll keep it in the walls of the church. I'll speak to another Christian because at least I know I won't get into trouble. And when we speak about it, we'll whisper in the coffee shop. But the lines are drawn. And God will be your dwelling place. You live in a sinful world as a sinful person. You cannot on your own stand. Lead on, O King Eternal. We follow not with fears, but it's only because he's leading us. Because he's our dwelling place. He's our refuge and our strength. And from everlasting to everlasting, he is God. And he will be with the church. And we have to be convinced that today God is with us. And that today whoever stands opposed to us is going to lose. Oh, you're going to take a slap and you're going to take a hit. We might get fined. We might be shut out. We might be thrown into prison. I don't know. They might even kill us. And he's like, really? Well, look at a lot of the world where our brothers and sisters are walking forward into this. Lord, teach us to number our days aright. We really don't know how many we have left. How many days are we going to spend thinking about our retirement fund and the mortgage? And now we're going to make this meet and that meet. Do your work for God and watch how he supplies. Has he left us without means? Has he left us without support? Of course not. What you need to serve him, he will give you. And in that day, use it as best as you can. So that we now will be the people who have a work ethic and an ambition. As we move out into this world, as the army of Jesus Christ, armed with the sword of the Spirit, busy for Almighty God. And some of you older people, there's nothing in the Bible that says when you get 65, you're done. Why is it that we burden all the young men with young children and say, we want you to be office bearers, and then we hit 65, 66, well, I'm tired now, so you guys will burn you guys out. How come you're so tired? Well, because they did it to me when I was young. And now I feel like it's their turn. We need older men with wisdom. And when the elders come and ask you, I'm too old or I'm too tired. Really? If you really are, of course. But that can be a mindset too. All of you have been placed in this congregation to do something. Not just the 10% doing the 90%. Watch what God will do when each of us does what we're called to do. And to respond with a yes when we're asked to do something. Of course we're scared. Do you think that ministers, do you think that I just come up here and preach? There's lots of sleepless nights and sore stomachs and trips to the bathroom. But when God comes, great amazing things happen. He is a great and glorious God. We're going to read this afternoon. I want to read it this morning. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ, Paul writes. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God is the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation of his suffering, to become like him in his death and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead, crying out for mercy, crying out for wisdom, Lord our God. But we can't just spend all day in prayer. Ora et labora. Pray and work. Teach us to number our days aright. We don't know how many we have. How many we have in good health. How many before really at the end of life where we really are too tired and we really cannot do these things. To overcome the fears and the anxieties that come with being sinful, weak human being. Lord God, you are our refuge. You're our dwelling place. And to cry out, lean on, O King Eternal. So as Paul writes, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will. And then as Psalm 90 finishes, so let us finish. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. We go now asking God's blessing. That's what the wise do. Lord, please show us the way, and then bless us for your glory. Whatever that blessing will be, whatever the result of the work that we are doing, establish it in your way. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, now we remember you in the days of our youth. We've gathered together with strength and energy. And Father in heaven, you've given us the days of our pleasure to work and to grow. Lord, for some, those days have passed, and we thank you for what they have done and bless them in their prayers and in their calling in this new time of their life of old age or sickness. But for others of us, Lord, we confess that sometimes we're scared and we're not sure what we're supposed to do. We're so scared of failure, Lord, or scared that we'll be called out or roughed up or bullied. And yet, Father in heaven, Christ did that for us. And what he went through, we will never have to go through. We have not resisted to the shedding of blood. And so, God, we pray that you would go with us into today, and that we would use this day wisely to celebrate your goodness, your mercy, and your word, that you would bless the preaching that is happening around the world. You would establish it through baptisms and Lord's Suppers. And that, Father in heaven, you would bless us in the week ahead, the month, and the year. And then we pray, Lord, how long? How long, O Lord, till we see the fullness and the beauty and the marvel of your favor? We look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. Bless us, Lord, in our evangelical outreach and in our task. Let us do our jobs to the glory and honor of your most holy name. Amen.